For the oil and gas industry, government regulation taketh away and giveth. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, the EPA is expected to unveil new proposals to force the oil and gas industry to contain the leakage of methane, a greenhouse gas. This is a pollutant 25 times more potent than carbon dioxide. Marketplace's Scott Tong from our sustainability desk joins me with more. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, David.
So what do we expect as far as the scope of this EPA rule?
Well, the rule addresses methane that leaks out of the plumbing in the oil and gas system. You have to drill it, and then you have to transport it and process and store it. And so that's what we're talking about. And the EPA is expected to propose rules on just the new and the modified system, which means not the existing structure. And so many critics say you're not getting at all the leakage here.
To be clear, what is the chief concern here?
Well, the big issue is how much methane actually escapes in this process. I mean, scientists are still trying to figure this out. The CEO of the big Norwegian oil company, Statoil, told me in an interview last year, the industry actually doesn't really know either. The EPA has some estimates, but a new study coming out in about 3 hours finds the leakage actually may be far worse in a part of the system where the gas is compressed. I spoke with Mark Brownstein at the environmental group EDF, which contributed to today's paper.
The study looked very specifically at the compressors associated with this gathering system and found that emissions were significantly higher than what EPA had been estimating, and in fact that there are many more of these facilities out there than we previously thought.
Now, Scott, the industry will be opposed to this new regulation, and yet just yesterday,
yes,
the administration gave a green light for Shell to drill in the Arctic. Is this a mixed message?
Well, this administration has always tried to balance this oil and gas coin on its edge. A couple of years ago, a scientist at a pretty high level in the administration told me that as soon as the president uttered all of the above with regard to energy during the midterms and that oil and gas could be safely produced, that any regulation coming out of this administration would fall in line and be consistent with that.
All right, Marketplace's Scott Tong, thank you very much. We'll get a clear sense of how Target is doing with its quarterly results tomorrow. The Minneapolis-based company has had a lot of management changes following some decisions gone wrong. But analysts expect improvement, Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Retail consultant Anthony Karabas says in recent years, Target had kind of lost its way. It opened too many stores in Canada, a data breach turned off customers for a while, and the company had pushed hard into grocery, which is a low-margin business.
Going into food itself is a good strategy because that promotes more frequent visits. But you can't just be like any other grocery store.
Target left Canada earlier this year. In grocery, it's now focusing less on the packaged stuff you can find anywhere and more on fresh foods and organics. Piper Jaffray analyst Sean Naughton says Target's organic selection expanded nearly 50% over the past year.
It's actually up about 15% even over the last 6 weeks.
Retail consultant Paula Rosenblum says Target's also trying to jazz up its apparel, but she says it might be hard to return to the chic Target image of its past.
Back then, H&M and Zara were a footnote in the U.S. Now they're not a footnote.
Rosenblum says even as Target improves, those companies now make for stiff competition. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
American Apparel has put out quite a warning. It's told investors and repeated it in a government filing yesterday. The retailer says there's a chance it won't have enough capital to keep going over the next 12 months. Investors were warned they could lose some or all of their money. American Apparel is known for making garments in the U.S., but it's had a turbulent year. The founder, Dove Charney, was ousted a year ago. After the board said there'd been too many lawsuits filed against him for sexual harassment, Charney then sued for defamation. Now some numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.2%. Another market story we're following today, Shanghai, where the key index dropped more than 6%, most of it toward the end of the trading day, and despite some upbeat economic news from China. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down 0.2%. Here's how to rile up people in West Virginia. Tell them you're going to sell them pepperoni rolls that are not made in West Virginia. The Sheetz convenience store chain is digging itself out of that one about now. But what is a pepperoni roll if you don't know you're not from West Virginia? Roxy Todd has our story.
Every time you drive by here, you could smell them, and that just drew you right into the parking lot.
I've been eating them for like probably 60-some years.
Customers line up at the Country Club Bakery in Fairmont, West Virginia for pepperoni rolls. It's just a stick of pepperoni baked into a hoagie-sized bread roll. But West Virginians have strong feelings about them.
I like them with a garden tomato on them and Miracle Whip. Yeah.
Most of them use slices of pepperoni, and I think the sticks are much better.
Legend is that pepperoni rolls were invented for coal miners to take underground. You can get them all over West Virginia, even in convenience stores like Sheetz. But a few weeks ago, Sheetz decided to stock a single brand of pepperoni rolls from out of state instead of sourcing from smaller West Virginia bakeries.
Well, I put it on Facebook, and in no way ever did I ever tell anybody to boycott Sheetz.
Dennis Mazza owns one of the bakeries that's been selling pepperoni rolls to Sheetz.
And I just informed, you know, my Facebook that we were no longer going to sell pepperoni Sheetz as of August the 3rd. It went viral. I mean, it wasn't just about our bakery. It was about every bakery. It was about the pepperoni roll in general.
On Facebook and Twitter, angry customers called for a boycott of Sheetz. They wrote things like, love your stores, but right is right.
We knew that it was a passionate item.
Ryan Sheetz is a spokesperson for his family's Pennsylvania-based business.
So we knew that we would get some feedback. I don't think anybody could have anticipated the level of feedback that we got.
In Charleston, West Virginia, I'm Roxy Todd for Marketplace.
But there's been a development here. Sheetz has now reversed its decision. The company says it's found a West Virginia bakery that can supply all of its West Virginia stores with pepperoni rolls that are kosher. I just put air quotes around the word kosher because, as you would guess, I don't actually mean kosher. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.